You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Our teeth are extra sharp, our bodies extra hairy. It's time for Nerd Overload, the show that's so good, it's scary. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we've been checking out.
I have a few things.
Do it. Go for it.
One, I saw Blade Runner.
Yeah? Was it real good?
Yeah, actually, it really is.
No spoilers, because I haven't even seen the first one.
I know. I want to go see it so bad, but somebody hasn't yet to watch the first one.
I was really afraid that it was going to be like one of those nostalgic cash grab kind of things.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about.
It's actually really good.
It's really good. I've heard it's very good, but it feels like it's a million hours long.
Oh, yeah. It's like a 2 hour and 40-something minute long movie.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It only takes you 3 days to get through it.
Oh, yeah. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Especially since there's like a bit in the middle where it kind of slows down and you're just like kind of like you're like melting in your seat like, oh, I'm still enjoying the movie, but good Lord.
Yeah. I'm enjoying this movie, but you're not making it easy.
Do you want me to make you feel kind of bad about that movie? I learned about this earlier this morning before we all showed up to record. Jared Leto's part originally was supposed to go to David Bowie.
Aww.
Would it have worked better?
Yeah, but also probably because I hate Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Like, and it's David Bowie, so yeah.
So yes. Yeah.
Here's a scary thought. One of these days, they're either going to remake or do a sequel to Labyrinth.
Yeah, it's in the works. Like, literally, it's in the works right now.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
There's no one who can play Jareth like Bowie did.
Oh, are you sure? Are you sure it's not?
They're going to get Johnny Depp
Johnny
up in there.
Depp? I was just going to say Johnny Depp.
That is like a living nightmare. I will not see that movie.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll see that out of just, well, because I hate myself, and I love bad things.
As I'll pirate it. I won't give them my money.
As punishment for your sins.
Dominus no requiem.
Can you imagine Johnny Depp dancing the magic dance?
All I can see is him dressed like Jareth and doing the Captain Jack walk around the labyrinth.
With a comically oversized codpiece.
Yeah.
Savvy.
Sarah, have you seen my goblins? Where is the babe gone?
I wish we were a video show because your hand motions that went with that were
Who's
very
Who's the
good.
Babe with the power?
Yar, what power, Captain Jack?
It's easy to find my way through the labyrinth because I have this compass that points wherever I want to go.
Right.
I'm gonna burn that movie to the ground.
I wish they would make pirate movies that weren't based on that franchise.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Because pirates are cool.
I mean, there was that show on Starz, Black Sails.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of decent.
You know, I would be okay with it being branded Pirates of the Caribbean without Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Just like another pirate. Make it like, what was it, Halloween 3, where it had nothing to do with...
Michael Myers.
It was the Silver Shamrock Mask Company that were making those evil masks. It had nothing to do with Michael Myers at all because they were going to try to turn it into like an overarching like franchise instead of just Michael Myers the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do that.
Of course, now they are doing another Halloween movie with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
Sure. And that actually looks kind of cool. I have a soft spot in my heart for Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
She's great. Awesome. I grew up on a lot of her stuff. She's very cool, and she's into fighting games.
And dressing up in cosplay.
And dressing up.
Fighting game conventions.
Yes. So, yes.
But anyway, Blade Runner is good. Like, the music's right. The visuals are right.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it was completely banking on the visuals for me. Like, even if the movie wasn't good, just to sit there and, like, take in that aesthetic for 3 hours... would have been okay with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are some references to the first movie, but they don't, like, hit you over the head with them. Like,
They
make sense.
That's good. Do they settle the thing where Deckard is either a human or Ridley Scott is a terrible director?
I heard they don't.
They really don't. They really don't.
Okay. Does it lean one way or the other heavily?
No.
Ah.
It's very ambiguous.
Yeah. As it should be.
No, it should be very cut and dry. Deckard is a human.
Well,
that's how it's supposed to be.
The author of the book says one thing, and then Ridley Scott says
Ridley Scott's a crazy person who decided to put scenes from Legend into into future cuts of Blade Runner. You know that's what that was, right? All those unicorn shots? Those were unused edits from Legend. You know, the one where Tim Curry was the devil.
I've not seen that cut of the movie.
Yeah, any of the it was a director's cut and the final cut where Deckard keeps having dream sequences where he sees a unicorn running around.
And like the one other Blade Runner cop makes a little origami unicorn.
Well, he does that in the movies anyway, in all the cuts anyway. But that was just a throwaway thing that Edward James almost was doing on throughout the movie. And it was the last one was supposed to signify, hey, cops are coming for you. You and what's her name?
Rachel.
Rachel need to get out. It wasn't supposed to be like, I know you're a robot because this unicorn is an implanted memory.
Anyway, it's a very good movie.
It's a very good movie.
I recommend everyone to see it.
Good.
I just realized I've only seen the theatrical cut.
Oh, so you don't know any of that stuff
no.
I was talking about.
I've seen the director's cut. I haven't seen the final cut.
I like how the director's cut and the final cut remove the terrible voiceover from Harrison Ford at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that was added in at the last minute that was a studio thing, and Harrison Ford purposely recorded it bad, was hungover and recorded it bad because he wanted to make sure it didn't get used, and they used it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What else have I
done? Go for it.
What else have I done?
Yeah.
I got kind of Halloween-y.
Yeah?
A little bit. And
careful, this is a family-friendly show on the radio.
I watched the new Mummy movie.
Oh!
With Tom Cruise.
How was that?
Yes, I'm tell curious. Me all about it.
Oh, okay.
Now, did he wear a fake butt?
What?
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah.
You didn't see that?
No. Mm-hmm.
What movie was that? Was it?
What movie was that?
The
Live, Die, Repeat.
Or whatever.
Whatever it was called. The other, it was.
Oh, what was that movie actually called? Or no, it was.
No. Live, Die, Repeat was its original title.
No. Live, Die, Repeat was the title that it was given when it was put out on DVD because Edge of Tomorrow didn't make sense.
That's right.
When it was in theaters.
Okay.
Anyway.
But someone was like watching it and they like paused at a certain point and like his butt is huge. Like it looks like he's wearing a big fake butt.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
You have to look it up afterwards.
Mm-hmm. That's a thing.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell you because the movie is so dark 90% of the time. It's really hard to see what's going on.
Mm. Wow. Huh.
Like, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, outside the flashbacks to ancient Egypt, the movie is dark.
Yeah.
It needs one of those things that video games have at the beginning where they're like, adjust
a
the slider.
Yeah,
so the box on the left is barely visible.
Yeah,
barely visible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as terrible as I thought it was going to be. I watched it. I was like, I don't feel bad for watching it. Because this is the Iron Man to their dark universe, cinematic universe.
Maybe not because they canceled the Bride of Frankenstein movie.
Aww.
I didn't hear they canceled it. I heard they kind of paused it.
They canceled it.
Boo.
But it's so weird, this movie.
Yeah. I heard there are a lot of things it barely takes place in Egypt specifically to try to, because when they dub it into like Chinese for the Asian market, they can easily say, well, this is Chinese spirits made him a mummy, because it's like it takes place partially in like England and partially in like Afghanistan.
Iraq.
But with very few exceptions, it doesn't take place really in Egypt.
No, the mummy sarcophagus doesn't really look Egyptian at all.
Yeah.
I mean, they say it's Egyptian, and the beginning of the movie does take place.
It's not Spanish?
I'm Egyptian.
I will never not work in a Highlander reference, you guys. Come on. You know me better than this.
But there can only be one. Anyway.
That's it. That's my one for the show.
Done.
I'm done for the show. Yeah.
But, I mean, the whole beginning part of the movie is almost like a creepy horror movie.
Well, the Mummy.
No. I mean, like the way they did her, like, early awakened stages. It almost reminded me of something out of, like, Mama or, like, The Exorcist.
Mm.
And, like, her mummy zombie minion she raised. Like, anybody she kills, she can raise as a zombie monster.
Mm-hmm.
And they look...
Because that's what mummies have. Zombies... Zombie armies.
Well, I mean, mummies are zombies they with are. Bandages on
yeah,
them.
They are. They are a subset yeah. of zombie.
Yeah.
I ask this question every year. Frankenstein's monster, zombie or not zombie?
Zombie. Hmm. It's a reanimated corpse.
Is he science zombie?
Science yeah. zombie.
Okay.
It is, but he's more than one corpse. He's multiple corpse parts put together.
Okay, so like zombie golem kind
yeah,
of?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, yeah, I think technically he would fall under a type of golem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, anyway. So, continue. Boom. I'll forget about this and ask it again next year and get a totally different answer.
And the whole thing with their with this being the Universal Monster Cinematic Universe,
mm-hmm.
there are references to other monsters.
Uh-oh.
Including,
let's see here, Russell Crowe played...
Just Russell Crowe as a monster.
He is Dr. Jekyll.
And?
Mr. Hyde.
Yes.
yeah, he is the head of an organization called,
Spooks.
Cody, shut up!
Progem or something like that?
Yeah, I like Spooks better.
Yeah, Spooks. Yeah.
Spoop. S-P-O-O-P.
I mean, they are very much kind of like a shadowy government agency kind of thing, but they're not. They're, like, based out of a museum.
Yeah, he's kind of like the Nick Fury. The Nick Fury, but also the Hulk.
Yeah.
But he doesn't Hulk out. He just gets red eyes and kind of punches stuff, right?
Yeah, he gets really angry in his
entire
accent.
So, like, Russell Crowe.
Yeah. So he's Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been listening too much of his band, 30-Odd Foot of Grunt.
Also, I was, like, watching this, like, man... Russell Crowe put on some weight.
Maybe it's now 40-odd foot of growth.
let's
was
see
this
here.
Shot right after, what's that movie? The Nice Guys?
Oh, yeah. Hey, he was good in that.
That was a fantastic movie.
That was a
movie.
Very good movie.
But there's a part where after they bring in Tom Cruise's character, they're walking through this like lab or whatever. You see all these like jars full of specimens and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There is front and center, middle of screen, a vampire skull.
Okay.
The arm of the creature of the Black Lagoon.
Okay. That movie is supposed to have Scarlett Johansson in it.
Yeah, and Johnny Depp's going to play the Invisible Man.
Good. He won't be on screen.
I don't want to see him.
He can wave his arms around as much as he wants.
You'll never see it.
You'll never see it.
I hope Scarlett Johansson is the monster.
That would be really cool.
I mean, they are kind of like turning a lot of the things on their head for this. Because, like, you know, we had a female mummy. And the fact they were going to go with, you know, the Bride of Frankenstein. But they were also going to have Frankenstein's monster, too. Mm-hmm. But
no, they didn't. The reason for that is they didn't want to call it a straight-up Frankenstein movie because they had two male-driven Frankenstein movies that really didn't work right after each other.
Yeah.
Victor Frankenstein.
And I, Frankenstein.
And I, Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all studio.
Three.
Of course.
They were two strikes into a three-strike Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Of course, Dracula Untold was supposed to be the first movie in this.
It was supposed to be.
But it bombed so bad, they're like, yeah.
No, let's try this one again.
They're really committed to this.
Yeah.
There's even a big logo at the beginning of the movie. It says, after the Universal thing, it says, Dark Universe. And I'm like, ugh.
We're trying so hard, guys.
Let's see here. Oh, there is a reference to the Brendan Fraser mummy movie.
Good. That's a good mummy movie.
Yeah.
For like 2 seconds.
Fine.
Is it
Brendan Fraser?
No.
He needs work.
The female lead, she's being chased by this guy through the museum. She grabs this book and beans some dude in the head, and it's the big golden Book of the Dead.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. God, those mummy movies were good.
They were.
Well, the first two.
The first two, at least.
And then we start getting into, like, you know, the Scorpion King and Tomb of the Dragon Emperor with Jet Li.
I remember liking the Scorpion King, but I don't know. I was probably 14 when it came out.
And The Rock was in it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I just kind of hold to the first one because that first one's great.
The first one is very, very good.
The second one's pretty good, but there's too much of Brendan Fraser making out with what's her name the whole time?
Oh.
Rachel Weisz?
Yeah, just constantly.
Yeah, well, like I mean,
they're married in that movie.
Yeah, so it's like we get the point. You're married.
I mean, if you were given the opportunity,
yeah.
I mean, Come on.
There is a part in the movie where you see like a sandstorm and it has like a face in it.
Okay, cool.
I don't know. I mean, it was an all right kind of movie. Tom Cruise is just kind of weird in it.
Well.
I know, he's Tom Cruise.
I was talking to you about Tom Cruise. Why can't he do like a movie where he's just like
some guy?
This next one that he's doing, he is kind of some guy in a weird situation.
Yeah, but he's doing all kinds of action movie stuff still. Like,
well, yeah.
Can he do a movie where he's not hanging on the outside of an airplane?
Yeah, that's never going to happen. the closest thing is you're going to get normal guy thrown into weird situation, and that's
because in this one he's a soldier. Well. Kind of a soldier of fortune. Like he's a United States military operative, but he's also kind of a treasure hunter.
Yeah. I kind of like that he's not playing just squeaky clean nice guys.
No, yeah. He's a real kind of tool in the movie for a while. And then there's a big old twist at the end. Yeah. There's been a lot of fan theories about what's going on with that. I don't know if you guys want me to spoil it or not.
Do it. Who cares? It's the mummy.
Okay. The whole thing with the movie is the mummy lady wants to basically bring ancient Egypt ultimate evil into physical form. Mm-hmm. And she has to do this ritual with this dagger and stab her chosen. And in ancient Egypt, soldiers killed her last chosen, and so she made Tom Cruise her chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he was going to bring the Egyptian god Set into physical being. So, a female lead gets killed by the mummy near the end of this climax.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there and she's like, you know, you could have the power over life and death and blah, blah, blah. And he kind of looks at her, looks at her body laying on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of letting the mummy do the ritual on him, he stabs himself with this dagger.
Ah.
And kind of takes the power, like, voluntarily.
So he becomes the mummy. Or he becomes Set.
Sort of.
He kind of gets... He gains mummy powers.
Yeah, he becomes an immortal. He's like a living god being. He has the powers of the mummy. But he also has like sharp teeth and like his eyes get weird. There's a fan theory out there that he is going to be a modern interpretation of Van Helsing the Monster Hunter.
Huh. Yeah. Okay.
Well, no, he's got to get his mummy powers so he can join up with Frankenstein's monster and fight the Chitauri.
Pretty much.
In the third movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. It feels like that's what they're doing. Because Russell Crowe's character makes Dr. Jekyll, makes a reference to it takes a monster to fight monsters.
So what classic Universal monster would all of the monsters need to fight?
Yeah, what's the big bad in that situation?
The theory is Dracula would be the big bad.
Yeah. But if his skull is there...
Not necessarily like it's Dracula's skull.
One of the Belmonts gets the skull and combines it with the bone and the toenail.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's...
I mean, it has to take monster to fight a monster because what is a man?
But it's a miserable pile of secrets.
I mean, the movie was all right. I mean, it was eh. It was either that or I was going to watch the Charlie Hunnam King Arthur movie.
Yeah, no, that's...
Now I just think I'm going to watch Baby Driver.
Oh, there you go. That's good. I've heard really good things about Baby Driver.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been feeling.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all right. I mean, if the Universal Cinematic Universe is ever going to get off the ground...
And it's not.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's kind of like the whole thing stalled out because I don't think this movie did that great in theater either.
No. Well, they got to make it. Good
no, it actually
first.
Went did super super well overseas.
Overseas,
yeah. In China, it made more than enough for it to warrant having as many sequels as it wants because it's a giant cash grab. That's all it is.
Huh. Oh yeah.
And I don't like Red Letter Media all that much, but their Half in the Bag episode on the Mummy goes into very very extreme detail about how it's like these movies are just kind of a scam. In order for Universal to
keep their monster rights,
just to make a bunch of money overseas because the overseas market will eat up any kind of action movie with like one major star that they can, no matter what the plot is, because they can slap whatever kind of subtitles on it that they want, just make it boring and bland enough, and they can make the movie whatever they want it to be over there.
For each different,
yeah.
For each different world market.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. I can go ahead and do my check it outs real quick because I have nothing really to add to them. I had a bunch of time this week, had a couple of nights where I had to stay up super late, had every intention of watching a bunch of really cool new stuff for the show. And what did I watch? The Matrix and the Spawn movie.
Like you do.
The Matrix, I watched it to see if it held up, and more or less it does a lot. Some of the effects are starting to look pretty dated.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole edgelordiness of the plot seems to be really not quite there. I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm past the point in my life where black leather is a draw.
Trench coats.
Black leather, sunglasses. Everything must be black. No.
I don't remember or not, but do they say how much clothes cost in The Matrix?
No. I don't know what that reference is.
Oh, Grandma's Boy.
Okay. Yes, okay, I do know that reference now. Now that you mentioned, yes, okay, I can hear it now. No, it holds up for the most part, I guess. It seems very anime.
Well,
yeah.
It really gets there in the third movie.
Yeah, really based on...
It really kind of is.
And, like Ghost in the Shell.
And I guess that it was such a big hit at the time. One, because of the visual effects, and two, because that whole aesthetic and kind of plot line, kind of style, I guess, was not as widespread as it is today. Like, if they made The Matrix today with modern effects, it probably wouldn't have done as well as it did at the time. It was revolutionary at the time.
Movies were making references to it like crazy. Mm-hmm.
And the other one I watched was Spawn. Spawn's not good. Don't watch Spawn.
No.
Spawn's not good. Don't watch Spawn. Spawn was so bad.
The only, like, good part of that movie, and I hate saying it, was John Leguizamo's Violator.
No,
character.
It wasn't. That was terrible. He did a very bad job.
It's been a long time since I watched it.
I've never watched it.
Michael Jai White actually did a really good job as Al Simmons, as Spawn.
Yeah.
He's probably the only one.
Well, because he's great.
Because he's great in everything.
Yeah. Did you see for the new Spawn movie, Keith David's going to voice Spawn?
That's great. I think that's a really good fit.
Yeah. Well, he was the voice of Spawn in the HBO animated.
Animated, yeah.
Larry David.
Yeah. But if you want to talk about bad CGI effects.
Oh, I know. That movie even, looks, it was even bad for the time.
It was terrible at the time. It's even worse now. The
cape.
The main devil, doesn't his mouth doesn't move. Like the demon, like the devil is like talking like, oh, I'm going
so he
to
looks
do
like
this.
A Power Ranger monster.
This is great radio, but I'm just like waving my arms about with my mouth ajar and like words just kind of come out of it.
Yeah, so he's like a Power Rangers.
It's like a Power Rangers
monster,
but it's all CG. It looks like the Power Rangers movie, like that the very end of the first movie where they had that bug robot.
Oh yeah,
it looked like that.
Yeah, it looks real bad.
It's very bad.
Oh man, that Spawn cape motorcycle thing.
Yeah, that was pretty rough. I forgot Martin Sheen.
Oh yeah,
was in it as the bad guy. He must have needed to make rent or something for that month. Because that was bad. Everything about that movie is bad. And it was one of the most clunkily edited films I think I've ever seen in my entire life. Every scene had a screen wipe.
Put some star wipes in there.
It replaced stars with fire. And yes,
awesome.
They were. Yeah. Every single scene, there was no linear transition from scene to scene. Everything was... over and over and over again. Yeah, terrible. Don't watch it. Well, or maybe do watch it. If you have Netflix and you have nothing to do, it's awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yep. But that's all I've done.
Now that HBO animated one, that is great. That is a great, great series. Too bad
it is all right. Yeah, it's all right. I'll be honest, I've never been much of a Spawn guy.
Back in the day, I was real big into the Spawn comics.
See, I don't know. It just wasn't my
I mean, not thing. So much now. I mean, it was, you want to talk about edgelordiness.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole premise is this edgelordy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's the right time to bring Spawn back, honestly.
No, I really don't think it is. I'll be honest, I remember a Spawn more as an action figure line than I do as a comic or a movie.
All those Todd McFarlane action figures.
Oh, like, man. Yeah.
The fact that, like, the Spawn logo is, like, Todd McFarlane's logo.
Yeah, that's it. I always get the McFarlane Toys stuff from that and the American McGee, like those really...
Oh, American McGee Alice.
Those like, freaky, weird-looking...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they're talking about making another one.
Another Alice game?
Yeah.
Really?
I haven't played any of them. I probably should play them.
I own them. They're all right.
Yeah.
The first one's really hard to play.
Yeah.
What did American McGee do that, like, he gets to put his name on video games?
I honestly don't know.
Like, he worked on Quake.
Yeah.
But he wasn't, like, a big... He's not John Romero.
It's because his name is American.
Yeah, I guess it just sounds cool.
It's just a cool-sounding name that they could slap on weird...
Yeah, but he's not, like, Sid Meier.
Yeah.
It's like
Cliffy B.
Shigeru Miyamoto doesn't put Shigeru Miyamoto's Super Mario on.
Well, maybe he should. Yeah. American McGee's Super Mario Brothers. Yeah.
Ooh. Will writes The Sims 6. I mean, not a lot of game designers slap their name, and it's not Ken Levine's Bioshock Infinite.
Todd Howard's The Skyrim.
Skyrim Todd Howard Edition.
Shigeru Miyamoto presents Todd Howard's The Skyrim. Well, that's kind of what we're getting on the Switch, right?
The Switch version. Yeah. Oh. Shigeru Miyamoto presents a Todd Howard joint. Skyrim. Elder Scrolls. Whatever. Skyrim.
Featuring Dante from Devil May Cry series.
And Knuckles.
And Knuckles.
Everything should be and Knuckles.
Yes. Yes. I guess the Sonic Mania has an and Knuckles mode. I haven't unlocked it yet.
Sonic Mania is so good.
It's good.
Did I talk about how fantastic that game is on here?
I think we have about
it for like a minute, because we have about a minute before the break.
Can we talk about the Shadow Zone for a minute?
If you want to.
I don't know.
Talk about your Halloween movies.
Well, we have a minute until the break.
Are we going to do that after the break? We'll do that after the break.
Yeah.
What was I going to talk about? You just threw 50 things at me. Now I'm confused.
Sonic Mania.
Sonic Mania is fantastic and awesome and is a good Sonic game, which never existed till now.
It's very good. I suck at Blue Sphere.
Oh, those are terrible.
I'm awful at them.
They should not have put those mini games in Sonic Mania.
And
it's
a shame
good.
Because that's how you unlock everything.
Yeah.
Is by winning Blue Sphere.
But I actually like Sonic Mania so much, I went through and I got all the Chaos Emeralds.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, got the true ending and everything.
Nice, nice. I've heard that the true ending ties into Sonic Forces.
It very possibly does.
Yeah.
I like how the one boss fight was Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was so great. That was such a surprise.
Good. Yeah. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here. When we get back, we'll talk about your guys' Halloween movie, Spooktacular, and then we'll get into a little bit of news.
Hey, we're back. That was the Monster Mash, because that's seasonally appropriate.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while since we've heard that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Bobby Boris Pickett who sang that, I think.
Thanks, because I completely forgot.
Totally forgot, but that's okay. I got it.
I mean, it's not like we play it all the time.
All the time. No, not at all.
So, I guess we have to do our horror movie spooktacular update.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get into it.
Because we did another week's worth of horror movies every day.
Yeah.
Spook date.
Are you pulling up the list?
Yes. Okay. That's why I'm looking at my phone. I'm not rude.
What do we got first on the list? Well, let's start with Street Trash.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
It was definitely a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think its title is appropriate.
That's some body horror stuff, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
A lot of melting.
The melting people.
And the melting was fantastic and cool.
Was that Frank Henenlotter, the guy who did Basket Case?
I don't know.
Oh, my. Oh, I'm going to look it up while you talk about it.
But it was about homeless people. This liquor store owner finds an old container full of venom malt liquor. That makes people melt when they drink it.
Like, literally melt.
Like, yeah, literally, and very colorfully melt. Mm-hmm. It kind of keeps it from looking too gross because it's so colorful.
Yeah, I was totally off. It's J. Michael Murrow who did that one, who directed it.
Does he have something against homeless people? Is that why he's doing it?
It's kind of a commentary on Vietnam.
Yeah.
It sounds ridiculous, but it really is.
And the way we treat homeless people, but... It's kind of muddled between ridiculousness and
sexism.
Sexism, yeah.
Like women literally being used as props.
And... Oh, all the females in this movie are just a prop for the... It's not great.
It's not great.
No, but it's also from, I don't know, the early 80s.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of rape. So just yeah. Fair warning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not great.
Into that. Yeah. It's not a fun movie to watch, but...
It's worth
watching once for the effects and kind of just the body horror kind of thing if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah, the effects and the body horror stuff is like, very cool.
I watched it once, and once is enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the main bad guy is this like Vietnam vet who's completely nuts
mm-hmm.
and has a knife made out of a human femur.
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
I mean, yeah, it's just all right. Give it a watch if you're into gross people melting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just find a supercut of just the melts.
Yeah, you can probably do that.
Probably get away with that, sure.
Weird because it does feel like it's really trying to say something about
melting
people.
But it kind of gets lost in there somewhere.
Yeah.
In the they're trying to do their best trauma on top of it trying to say something. I don't know.
Probably, yeah.
We watched Stuart Gordon's Castle Freak.
Ooh, okay.
Which was pretty good. I mean, it's got Barbara Crampton and Jeffrey Combs.
I was going to say,
they're both great. Mm-hmm. And Stuart Gordon's a great director.
Mm-hmm.
Reanimator's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
This was just all right.
Have you seen From Beyond?
No, that's on the list, though. We've got to watch that.
That one's weird. Just fair warning, that one is weird. It's the one he did directly after Reanimator. And it's the effects go way up, and the... coherence and kind of the respectability goes down. Yeah.
Castle Freak is Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton and their blind daughter inherit a castle that has a freak in it.
Yeah.
just a normal Castle Freak.
Yeah.
And wasn't that partially based on a Lovecraft?
Probably.
Yeah.
Most of the Stuart Gordon movies are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was no Reanimator, it was no Dagon.
Yeah.
But it was all right. I mean, the monster was pretty creepy.
Super horny.
Yeah, he was very horny.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
That was like his entire motivation, which was unfortunate.
But no, if that's a problem for you, you're not going to like From Beyond. You're really not going to like From Beyond.
But like his whole motivation, because he sees the Jeffrey Combs... husband character get real drunk because he's got an alcohol problem and bring home a lady of the night and sees that happen, and then I guess that's what he wants to do for the rest of the movie.
But yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, I don't know if I would super recommend it. Yeah. I mean, if you're into Stuart Gordon movies,
it's nothing.
You could do better.
Yeah, you could definitely do better.
It's nothing special, but it's not horrible either.
And I'm going from like bottom of the barrel to the top.
Okay.
Next on the list, we've got House of 1,000 Corpses.
Yeah.
Which, I liked it. I don't know.
I think it was obvious he was trying to figure out film.
Yeah. It's Rob Zombie's first movie, and you can definitely tell.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it looks more like a music video than it does an actual movie.
Sure.
I mean, I'm the one who brings the Christmas candy.
The characters are all fantastic. Like, I love the Firefly family. They're all entertaining, creepy psycho murderers.
Mm-hmm.
It has Chris Hardwick in it.
Of course it does.
Oh, God, I forgot he was in that.
Oh, yeah.
We're just like, Chris Hardwick
and Rainn Wilson.
Well, Chris Hardwick shows up in almost all of Rob Zombie's movies.
Really?
Yeah. It's either the second or third one he did. It was the one where, what was the Rob Zombie he redid? What was it?
Halloween.
Yeah. And there was like, it was either Halloween or Halloween 2 that he did. And there was like a interview, like a Maury style show. It was Chris Hardwick hosting the show, and the special guests were Weird Al Yankovic and the doctor, what's his name?
Oh, okay.
Played by Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It probably would have had to have been the first one, because I think...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But House of 1,000 Corpses is very visually interesting, too, but the plot doesn't really hold up through the whole thing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's worth watching just to see it.
Yeah, but then you got, like, The Devil's Rejects, which is a direct sequel, and then you got Salem's Lot, and...
I love The Devil's Rejects. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I was, like, fresh out of high school when it came out. I saw it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... if I remember right, it is leaps and bounds above House of a Thousand Corpses.
And, of course, you know Rob Zombie has to put his wife in everything.
Yeah. Oh, sure, yeah.
Well, his wife is great, though.
Yeah.
Baby's fantastic. She's very Harley Quinn, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
I guess, like, a Tara Strong Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
House on Haunted Hill.
Okay.
The next one on the list, which...
The original one?
The original, Vincent Price, black and white.
Cool. Because
they had the option of the black and white, or we could have looked up the colorized one, but no. It's a really good murder mystery with horror elements. It's not really... I wouldn't really say it's a horror movie.
Mm.
It's like Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None mixed with a Scooby-Doo episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's still fantastic. It's a great movie. Vincent Price is great.
He's always great.
Yeah, he's the best.
He elevates anything he's in.
Yeah. And it has a skeleton, like a skeleton puppet walking around.
That's my favorite character.
Yeah. it's a great movie. Like, watch it. Just don't expect it to be, like, you know, be scared, but you have a good time, and it's a good mystery.
Yeah.
And we have another... I should have did this one before House on Haunted Hill if I was doing it in order of quality.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
The Conjuring, which is apparently part of the Annabelle extended universe.
It was the first one in the Annabelle series.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
I was so confused.
Because it starts exactly the same, like, as Annabelle.
Like, what the heck is going on? It's the same exact scene. We're like, is this Annabelle? What?
Wow,
yeah.
Really?
It's the movie that started the whole Annabelle thing. Yeah,
yeah, there's apparently like an Annabelle cinematic universe, and this is its Iron Man.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, Annabelle is in it, like, quite a few times, but she's not the focus of the movie, but she's there. She has more than a cameo.
Wow.
She's like, I'm back.
Yeah.
Except you watched them out of order.
Yeah.
So confused.
This movie is chock full of jump scares.
Yeah.
It's Five Nights at Freddy's, the movie.
he yelled Jesus once, and then Jesus, I can't say the next word once.
You know a jump scare got me if I go, Jesus, when it happened. I don't know why that's my go-to, but it is.
That's your spook?
Yeah.
Yep.
My go-to spook exclamation.
So jumpy. It's funny.
Well, even when it's worse when I can see him coming.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, it's going to do it. And it does. But it, a lot of jump scares, a lot of jump scares.
A lot of jump scares.
Otherwise, it was just about as good as...
It was pretty scary.
Yeah, it was better than Annabelle by a long shot.
Okay.
But it was just your basic demon... possession story, exorcist knockoff, kind of
based off a true-ish story, if you believe anything that
the Warrens say. Yeah.
That was the whole reason I didn't watch the movie, because I can't stand the Warrens.
Yeah.
And I always hated, like, those, like, ghost shows that always bring them on as, like, a medium and stuff, and I'm like...
Oh, yeah. And there's a little bit of it that is, like, Ghost Adventures 1971.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of goes into, like, a first person, like a ghost show on Travel Channel.
Right.
In the middle of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad movie by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend it.
Yeah. It was a perfectly serviceable spooky horror movie that will give you the jump scares. If that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Speaking of 1970s spookums. It just kind of reminded me. My favorite Paranormal Activity is the third one, where it's like the girls are younger.
Is that the one where there's a bunch of cult members running around at the end?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
It's like my favorite one in the whole series, in the whole lot. Though I don't think I've seen the newest one.
No, it looks like it really fell off after that one, because I think the last one is called like Paranormal Activity: The Ghost Dimension.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one. I didn't want to.
Wasn't there a Ghostbusters show based on the ghost dimension?
Probably.
Oh. Isn't that Extreme Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Where they went to the ghost dimension?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But the last and probably the best of this set of horror movies we watched was Raw, which is on Netflix. It's a French movie about a girl whose whole family is vegetarians, but then as part of a college hazing ritual, she has to eat meat. And
well,
then
not just any meat.
A rabbit kidney.
Like raw.
Yeah, raw. Okay. And after that, she has an insatiable craving for meat, including people meat.
Ah, okay. That sounds really interesting. That actually sounds really good.
It was really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
Really gross.
Yeah, it's one of the few movies I actually had to not look at it. Like, I have a pretty strong stomach. Mm-hmm. I don't watch a lot of gore and stuff.
I mean, we watched Street Trash.
I didn't flinch, but...
Yeah, you had to look away more than a couple times. Well, there's the part where she's getting lectured by a teacher and she's chewing on her hair.
Mm.
And so she's eating a bunch of her hair.
Yeah.
And then later it's her in the bathroom pulling hair out of her, like out of her stomach and gagging.
Oh,
it made me literally gag, but I have a sensitive gag reflex to that kind of stuff.
You'll say a sensitive disposition.
Yeah, that too.
And it just kept going, pulling out.
I'm good.
Like, everybody's had a hair in their throat.
And that's so awful.
Me, never, ever, no.
So yeah, it's a relatable gross out. Like you know what she's feeling, but on an enhanced scale, so it really gets you. it was also very gross when she eats her sister's finger that gets cut off in a bikini waxing accident.
Oh geez,
I can't even imagine how that happens by accident.
A pair of scissors.
Wax gets stuck. Kind of cut it out.
Oh.
But she's sitting there holding the finger in her hand, and you're like, don't eat it. Don't eat the finger. And then she just goes to town on it B-dubs.
Yeah.
If you guys are looking for recommendations.
Always.
I don't know if it's still on Netflix. I know it used to be. But it's one of my favorite vampire movies of all time. It's a Swedish film called Let the Right One In.
It's very good.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah. Even the American remake's not bad.
But the Swedish one's better.
The Swedish film is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Yeah.
But Raw is really good, and it has it ends really well and explains why it happened in an interesting and surprising way. I would wholeheartedly recommend it.
Cool.
And that's it. That's all the horror movies for this week.
Okay, great.
See you again next week with more horror movie spectacular. Spooktacular.
Yeah.
Lightning, we should have named Thunder Crash.
we should have named this segment.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we have about 10 minutes, so let's go ahead and get into just a little bit of news here. Let's do the most important one first. There's a Black Panther trailer. And it looks really good.
Oh, man, I'm so excited.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Looks super, super good.
Can't wait.
The
music choice for it was great.
Mm-hmm.
The visuals look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It looks so stylish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his suits are cool.
Yes.
He's apparently got a different one.
He's got a new one. Yeah.
Well, the guy sells those toys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like how all of his flaws are in his personality. It's not like dude's super genius. World athlete, king of his own country, has all this technology, has all this stuff, kind of, sort of, mystical, a little bit, has all this stuff. All of his weakness comes in his hubris because he knows he is the best and the smartest, and that kind of gets the better of him. I'm looking forward to,
He was one of my favorite parts of Civil War.
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah. Civil War had just enough of him to introduce the character and set the ground rules for his personality
and get you intrigued
without spoiling his own solo film.
They did it right. I mean, they did the same thing for Spider-Man too.
Yeah,
but he was a much greater extent to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that and everybody knows. There's no mystery about Spider-Man.
Like, everybody knows Spider-Man.
Yeah,
no, hardly anybody knew Black Panther, but now they do.
Yeah, well, they're going to.
Yeah,
and then Killmonger's suit.
Mm-hmm.
Was that
That's golden, a great name.
Golden Leopard or whatever he's
yeah.
what he is.
Yeah.
And so the fact that Claw actually has a laser gun arm or Sonic Blaster arm or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. If you remember, he lost his arm
in
Ultron.
Age of Ultron. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it all ripped off there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just excited.
Yeah. It's gonna be great.
Looking forward to it.
Just it looks so good.
Looking forward to it a lot more than Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is a shame because I'm really looking forward to Ant-Man and the Wasp too. But this is going to blow that movie out of the water.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Like I said before the show, if taking the Marvel movie formula and changing it from a middle-aged white dude to a high school kid in Spider-Man was such a refreshing change, imagine now it's a movie about a black dude. Yeah.
An entire African nation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to be a great change that makes a very good movie, mm-hmm. I feel like.
Also, is this where the time gem is going to be introduced?
No, they already introduced the time gem.
Where and when?
Doctor Strange.
Oh, that's right. It was Doctor Strange. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking of Marvel versus Capcom, the Infinite, the story mode on that. That's where the time gem is because that's what's keeping Wakanda from being
seen
by Ultron Sigma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that game good?
No.
No? Okay. Just curious.
The fight mechanics are very good. The models are not. The character roster is lacking, and the story mode is the worst. It's the worst and flimsiest.
So it's no Capcom, Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
Right. From what I understand, it is the Monster Hunter generic character is like stem to stern, the like most accurate like depiction of like Monster Hunter game outside of Monster Hunter. Like all of her attacks use different weapons that are used from the game. They all behave the same way that they do in the game, and like, yeah, everything.
Does she constantly try to skin everyone she defeats?
Her win quotes mention something about saving bits of the enemy of your opponent.
I love Monster Hunter.
Yeah, it's really good.
I can't wait for the Switch one that we might get.
Eventually, someday.
Also, that Monster Hunter Stories game mm-hmm. that came out on 3DS not too long ago. Very good.
Very good?
Very
cool.
Good.
Well, if you want any of those special unlocks, the Japanese Amiibo does work in the American...
Release of the game?
Release cool. of the game. They're just not releasing the Amiibos here yeah. for whatever reason.
Rude.
Yeah.
But it's very much Pokemon, but you're also a character that can fight.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, speaking of Pokemon, this doesn't need going into at all, but... there was a Detective Pikachu movie that we talked about years. It had to have been over a year ago that they were doing.
It was during Pokemon Go hysteria.
Yeah. And we were kind of talking about who might voice the American dub of
Detective Pikachu.
The titular Detective Pikachu. Because he's
the only Pikachu that can talk.
Yeah. It can speak English and solves crimes. Wears a Deerstalker hat. And that's pretty cool. I guess Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in talks to be the voice of Pikachu. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Just hearing that deep rock voice coming out of a little tiny yellow electric rat with a Deerstalker hat.
It's something about that. For that character of Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, I
from
think.
From what I've read about the game.
Yeah, really?
It's based on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of like a ladies' man, Pikachu.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I'm totally in.
He's a hard-boiled detective ladies' man Pikachu, so it works with The Rock, I think.
That's actually really cool. I wish it was Danny DeVito, like that clip on YouTube where they stuck Always Sunny quotes.
Do you think they might have tapped Bob Hoskins?
That would have been good if he was
good.
Still alive. Yeah,
that would have been good.
Eddie Valiant, the Pokemon.
Yeah.
That actually would have been really good.
Nintendo would be like, no, we're not working with him again.
Oh, yeah.
Never again.
Oh, man. I completely blocked the Mario Brothers movie out of my head.
Yeah.
Now I feel bad.
Let's see. Let's go down one more. Everyone's favorite comic artist, Jim Davis, is doing a short comic
in Squirrel Girl,
where he gets to draw Galactus and the Silver Surfer.
As basically Garfield and John.
Basically, yeah. Galactus, he hates Mondays and loves lasagna-flavored planets.
I've seen, they've uploaded, the first page of it. It's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny, yeah.
And that Jim Davis art style applied to Galactus and the Silver Surfer.
It kind of works.
It's funny on its own.
Yeah, it kind of works. It's interesting, because I think this is the first time Jim Davis has done any comic work that is outside of his own creation.
Yeah, or, outside of the newspaper.
Yeah. So that's really cool. Although, the question is it actually Jim Davis that's doing this, or is it part of his art studio stable where... Yeah.
Pets, what is it, like Pets Incorporated?
Pets Incorporated, where he has like five or six different ghost artists and ghost writers that do his strips for him. Actually, believe it or not, Scott Kurtz does the same thing with PvP because he's a huge Jim Davis guy and he's kind of modeled his
career
webcomic after it. And I don't know how I feel about that. Be honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not the news article here that we're talking about Jim Davis.
Jim Davis does seem like he has a fantastic sense of humor.
He does.
I feel he's in on, like, the quality of Garfield. Like,
he's in on the joke.
He knows. Yeah. It's a big joke. He knows it.
Yeah. And he was a big fan of Garfield minus Garfield when that was a big thing.
Yeah.
Which I loved. I thought that was amazing. And, yeah, he seems to be kind of in on it, and that's good. So, yeah.
There's a lot of garbage newspaper comics people, and Jim Davis is not one of them.
Right? Yeah, yeah. If we want to talk about garbage newspapers, let's talk about one Funky Winker Bean and its cousin Crankshaft.
Who is Crankshaft? Like a self insert for the guy that does this?
He is a self insert for the curmudgeon-y old man like persona of the main guy. Yeah. No, Funky Winkerbean was the Mary Sue character of the main artist. The whole lifespan of that comic is so weird.
Didn't you meet the guy at a con and he was?
Oh, I didn't meet him. I walked past his booth about five times, and he just looked so sad. He's from Ohio, so he's from around here. He stopped going to Mid Ohio cons because no one would come to his table. He was always sad. And all of his comic strips made everyone feel bad.
I don't think anyone under 70 has any interest in Funky Winkerbean.
I remember when I used to live at my grandparents, I found a book of Funky Winkerbean comics.
Now, here's the thing. It used to be a comedy strip. It was a high school comedy strip that took a couple of age gaps. Like, it would jump forward in time a few, you know, decades or whatever every now and again. And he also actually had, I can't think of the artist's name off the top of my head. I don't know why. I used to know it. He had a third strip that was almost like a sitcom style kind of thing at a newspaper. I think it was a newspaper, either a newspaper or a television station. And it was, you know, comedy, whatever, joke, until like the main writer or like the TV anchor was brutally murdered in his last strip. And then in Funky Winkerbean, the kids had to solve the murder of the guy from the other strip. It
sounds like Riverdale.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, that's actually a really apt comparison. Funky Winkerbean took a Riverdale-esque turn. Yeah.
I secretly love newspaper comics.
Oh, they're kind of great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one thing I wanted to do for the longest time was be a newspaper comic cartoonist.
Really? That's excellent.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I kind of did too. When I was my senior project was actually about the topic I chose was drawing comics, and part of it was we had to interview somebody in that field, and I interviewed a newspaper comic artist out of Bucyrus.
Oh, really? Oh, wow! Do you remember the guy's name off the head?
Do you remember the comic?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
But he was a big Charles Schulz fan.
He knew
Charles Schultz.
Nice. Yeah, that's really cool. That's very cool. Let's see. We have we're pretty much out of time. So, let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also follow us on our spoopiness all month on all social medias of Facebook, Twitter, Twitch. Under Nerd Overload Now.
And if you want to follow our YouTube channel, that's unfortunately not Nerd Overload Now. It's Nerd Overload TV.
We're getting there.
Please subscribe to our YouTube channel so we can change its name.
Yes, please.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Mm-hmm, that's right. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, so check us out over there if you'd like. And, you know, tell your friends. Tell your friends about the show.
Yeah, please.
Yeah,
we don't advertise the show. It's the best way to get new people to listen to the show. So So tell your friends about the cool nerd podcast.
Yeah, definitely. So again, thank you all for listening, and until next week, we'll see you then.
Peace out.